Bibles this morning, first of all, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're actually going to be in Colossians 3 as our primary text this morning, but I want to go ahead and start in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 for our first point. Over the last few years, I've had the opportunity to say thanks to people who have invested in my life. A few years ago, I got to sit down with Ray Gibbs, who was a voice teacher for me in college and taught me so much about singing, and just to let him know how much I appreciated not just his teaching, but his testimony that I had the privilege to observe as one of his students. A couple years ago, I was down at PCC, and I had the opportunity to talk to my former boss at the information desk, Mr. Reggie Sellers, and wanted to make a point of saying thank you to him for the investment that he had made in my life. He taught me an awful lot about professionalism, organization, public relations, people skills, all of those things. And then here this past week, on Friday afternoon, I had the opportunity to call my former youth pastor, Pastor John. Now, I hadn't talked to Pastor John in over 30 years. I'd kind of lost touch with him, but a couple months ago, a friend of mine mentioned that he had retired from the ministry in a church in Michigan, and so I was able to locate that church's website, sent an inquiry there. They gave me his phone number, and I called him on Friday and just had a great conversation with him, and just made a point to say to him thank you for the ministry that he had in my life. And of course, now he's retired from the ministry, but what I've been learning about this business of saying thank you to people is that expressing your gratitude brings great joy to people on both ends of that conversation. And it was really a blessing to me to talk to him. I'm wondering this morning, are you genuinely grateful for the people that have invested in your life, who have ministered to you, who have given of themselves to you or given things to you? And if you are grateful, if you would say that you're grateful this morning, have you ever told them so? Have you ever just called somebody up to say thanks? You know, this week I was called by a man that I would consider a very thankful guy, Brother Ken Hennessy. Brother Ken Hennessy is going through some really difficult times right now physically. But he called me up this week, and basically just because he wanted to say thanks for three things. and one of the things that he said in that conversation, you can maybe hear Brother Ken saying this, "I'm just so thankful." That is a thankful man. But you know, sadly, there are not many people like a Brother Ken Hennessy today who, although maybe having hard times and going through difficult experience, yet make a point of getting on the phone and calling people just to express thanks. We live in a time where there is an absence of gratitude. And that's the first thing that I would like us to consider this morning from 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And let's take a look at these first five verses. I preached this chapter a while back, so I'm not preaching the chapter again today. I just really want to point out something in this context. Look at verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Would you look back at verse number 2? Would you notice that one of the characteristics of people in the last days, as described here by the Apostle Paul, is that they are unthankful. Unthankful. Would you look at the surrounding words? Let's consider those surrounding words for a moment this morning. And I just read to you that list of other characteristic behaviors and actions of people in the last days. And I think you will probably observe with me that the word unthankful there is not keeping very good company in that list, is it? No, those words are really what we would call probably a hall of shame. I mean, if those were your characteristic lifestyles and behaviors, that these are shameful things, folks, the point is that to be unthankful is a great sin. Would you also notice the root cause of unthankfulness? That's back in verse 2 as well. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." I believe that first characteristic there is really the root of all the others in this list. The root cause of unthankfulness is ungodly selfishness. It's one of the evil, stinking fruit of that very evil root that so easily takes hold and grows in the human heart. We could also look at the current fulfillment of this prophecy, and I preached about that a few weeks ago. Folks, in our society today, as we look around us, we see that ingratitude is at an all-time high. So few people seem to be genuinely thankful anymore. Just consider, for example, the neglected status of the Thanksgiving holiday. Thanksgiving today is suffering from a near-death experience between Halloween and Christmas. It's almost an afterthought, an oversight, and now Black Friday has crept in as well and is encroaching back into Thanksgiving Thursday. So many people don't even call it Thanksgiving anymore. They call it Turkey Day. It's not a day to give thanks. It's just a day to get and eat and to satisfy, gratify self. Recently had a conversation with someone about how nobody writes thank you notes anymore. You know, that's just so passé, that's so old-fashioned, you know, to sit down and write somebody a thank you note. Some people today won't even acknowledge basic acts of kindness. You try holding door open for somebody or whatever, you might get a dirty look. Somebody might express the fact that they really don't appreciate that you're trying to do something kind. Now, some people do, but some do not. Anybody that works with people will testify that those in whom you invest the most often seem to appreciate it the least. And you know what? One of the saddest, I think, manifestations of ingratitude is when people just walk away from a relationship. They walk away from a commitment. They walk away from their loved ones. They walk away from those people who have invested sacrificially into their lives. Just walk away. That is self-centeredness and ingratitude in the extreme. So few people make the effort to follow up to say thanks unless they have something personal to gain from it. For example, a salesman following up with a contact, perhaps. But the attitude of many people today is, why should I even bother to say thank you? Why is that even important? And folks, I would say that we also have room for improvement in this area, even right here in our church. I don't know about you, but I certainly have room to grow in this area of expressing appreciation and gratitude. Now, I'm sure we would all agree that it's a good thing to be thankful. I'm sure we would all say, yes, I agree that we should say thanks to people and we should have a thankful heart and express it on our lips. But then why is it so hard for us to maintain an attitude of gratitude? That's what I want to speak to you about this morning from God's Word. So let's go ahead and go over now to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 in our Bibles. And we're going to get to that in passage in just a moment. But go to Colossians chapter number 3, just a little bit back to the left from where you were in 2 Timothy. Colossians chapter number 3. This morning I want to share with you a point about the assassins of gratitude. Why we struggle to maintain this attitude of gratitude that would be God's will for a believer. And then the final point this morning, I want to share with you how to succeed in maintaining an attitude of gratitude. So let's consider these assassins of gratitude. I can think of at least 5 things that will kill off the gratitude in your heart and on your lips. And the first thing of the 5 would be stuff. 5 things that will kill gratitude in your life. Number 1, stuff. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, no, you got it all wrong. I mean, if I had more stuff, then I would be more thankful. No, that's often not how it works. Often the more we have, the less thankful we are, and the less we express our gratitude. This was brought home to me one of my mission trips to Thailand, sitting around in one of the homes of one of the Thai believers and fellowshipping with them. And just, folks, if you could have been in that situation, seen the house that we were sitting in, seen the food that we were being served, and you would have been struck with the fact that, you know, these people don't have very much. And yet to see the joy on their faces, radiant joy as they were sharing their testimonies of how God had saved them and how thankful they were to know the Lord Jesus Christ, was a powerful example of gratitude. Seeing that those Thai believers have so much joy with so little materially, then how is it that lots of American believers go around ungrateful and unhappy all the time? I think one issue can be our stuff if it leads to a greedy mindset. A greedy mindset can be a problem. The more stuff we have, the more stuff that we tend to want, and the more unhappy we become because we're focused on all the stuff that we don't have instead of being grateful for what we do have. Having lots of stuff is all about acquisition. It's all about getting. But you know what? Being thankful is the opposite. It's all about giving. And so when we get into that getting mindset, that greedy mindset, it will kill the gratitude in our lives. Another way this can be a problem is with a careful mindset. Our stuff can lead to a careful mindset as well. The more stuff we have, the more cares come with the stuff. The more time we spend worrying and trying to work hard to maintain and to protect our stuff. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes pointed out this problem. Ecclesiastes 5, he said, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saying the beholding of them with their eyes?" The more stuff you get, the more stuff there is that wants to consume your possessions. The more time we spend worrying about our stuff, the more careful we will be. But what does the Bible say? It says, be careful for nothing. You know, as long as we're full of cares, we will not be full of thanks. Being careful and being thankful are mutually exclusive. I can prove that to you from the Scripture. Look at Philippians 4. It says, be careful for nothing. Full of cares for nothing. That's the one side of the spectrum. That's the one option. The other option is, but, there's the contrasting word, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Jettison the careful spirit and adopt the thankful spirit and pray in that kind of an attitude of gratitude. All right, so stuff can be a problem. It can assassinate the gratitude in our lives. Doesn't have to, but often, sadly, that is the case. And then the second assassin of gratitude that I want to suggest this morning is selfish arrogance. Selfish arrogance, which can also manifest itself in a couple of ways. First of all, it can show out in our lives with an attitude of selfish entitlement. That's the idea that, of course, people should do things for me because, after all, I am me. I mean, I deserve it. This is the mindset of the spoiled brat, to be frank. You know, that I am the center of the universe and everybody else exists to orbit around me and to please me and to make me happy. And you might be thinking, well, that's not my attitude, you know. But let me ask you a question. Have you taken any acts of kindness for granted lately? An attitude of selfish entitlement can be a way in which this self-centeredness can grow in gratitude in our lives. Also, an attitude of selfish importance. That's an attitude, I mean, we wouldn't say it with our lips, but sometimes we say it in our hearts and we live like it, that I'm too busy living my life, doing my thing, to go and say thank you to somebody else. I don't really have time to stop. I'm just too busy with my own affairs. That reminds me of the 9 lepers in the New Testament that were healed by Jesus, received a gift of a miraculous healing, but then never came back to say thank you. They just moved on with their lives. Sometimes, again, we wouldn't say it, we wouldn't want to ascribe to this, but honestly, in our hearts, we think that our time is more valuable than other people's time, and therefore doing something for me right now is more important than doing something for you. Selfish importance Let me ask you a question. How many people have you not stopped to thank lately? How often have you been forgetful? The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, it is a sin to be ungrateful and not to express our gratitude. The third thing that will kill the gratitude in our lives is what I'm calling the squeaky wheel syndrome. The squeaky wheel syndrome. Because it's just part of human nature to complain much more easily than it is to compliment or to express appreciation. Now, oftentimes our complaining comes because we're focused, again, on what we don't have rather than what we do have. You know, everybody else has a bigger piece of pie than I have. And so instead of being thankful for my piece, I am complaining because I don't have somebody else's piece because I got ripped off. And we complain. We become that squeaky wheel. Also, my flesh wants to be indulged and it wants to be comfortable. And so the flesh is quick to complain when it becomes uncomfortable. But it's not so quick to say thanks. When everything is running smoothly, our wheel tends not to be quite as squeaky. Sometimes we just don't think about it, do we? It's just an oversight on our part. Not that we intended to be ungrateful, but we just didn't even give it any consideration because things were going well in our lives. We take people for granted, and we treat God the same way, don't we? Oh, sometimes we take our blessings from God for granted. But then when we start to suffer, oh, then we become fervent supplicators in prayer. Oh, then we begin to hit our knees and we cry out to God and our wheel gets real squeaky. Lord, oh, I need some oil over here. I need some help over here. Things are not running smoothly in my life over here, Lord. We're quick to supplicate, but not to say thanks. The squeaky wheel syndrome, part of human nature. Then number four is sad and sorry meditations. Sad and sorry meditations. Because it's also human nature for us to focus on our problems and our troubles and our sorrows rather than on God's blessings. Let me tell you, nothing in my personal experience will kill ingratitude in your life faster than a pity party. When you start to feel sorry for yourself, when you start to indulge those feelings of self-pity, you know what? If we get in the habit of meditating on our problems, we can lay down some grooves of ingratitude in our minds and in our thoughts that are hard to escape from. The Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. That is God's will for the believer, that you would meditate upon God. He wants you to have grooves of sweet thoughts about the Lord that are worn into the ridges of your mind so that your thoughts run upon those delightful thoughts of your God, leading you to sing praise to Him. But instead of enjoying those sweet meditations upon God, many believers are stuck in a rut of sad and sorry meditations due to years of ungrateful thinking. Years of thoughts that were full of fears and worries and unbelief, and that is a miserable place to live. Sad and sorry meditations will assassinate your attitude of gratitude. And it is a choice that we make what to meditate on. And then number five, the fifth thing that will kill gratitude in people's lives is so little instruction. So little instruction. In this ungrateful age, many children are not being taught to be thankful or to express thanks by their parents. Now, we love our kids. And because we love them, you know, we think it's our job and to shower them with stuff. And so we give them stuff and we provide and we give them lots of things and we delight in that. And not only that, we shelter our kids from any adversity as much as we possibly can. I mean, some other kid looked cross-eyed at my kid on the playground and I'm there. I'm going to go to bat for my kid. I'm going to make sure my kid doesn't deal with adversity. But perhaps we're doing our kids more harm than we are good if the message that they get from all of that generosity is that life is all about people, my parents, doing things for me. So we need to teach children to be grateful as part of shaping their character That's an important part of character training in the lives of our children. And not only that, but they need to see an attitude of gratitude expressed on our lips and in our lives. Because gratitude is also caught, not just taught. So the fifth thing that can kill gratitude, and a part of the problem that we're living with in our society today, I think, is so little instruction. Five things that will kill the gratitude in your life. Just things that occurred to me that can be part of the problem that we're dealing with. But now, this morning, I want to get to our main point in our passage today. Let's take a look at the assignment for gratitude. Because God has given us an assignment as believers in Jesus Christ. It is no doubt His will is for us to be thankful. And not only has He said we should be thankful, but He has also given us the means to be thankful. And we're going to take a look at that here in Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. And before I get into the passage, verses 15 to 17, let me just explain the context of this passage. Colossians chapter number 3 is all about the heavenly life of a believer in Jesus Christ. That when you get saved, you have a new life in Christ. That old you, that old person that existed before you were saved, is gone. And a new you has been created in its place. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have a refreshed and renewed life in Him. And so the new you is different from the old you. And as a part of our new life in Christ, we are supposed to put off some things. The first part of Colossians 3 tells us about some things that we are to put off, that we are to take off and put away, get out of our lives. Those are the characteristic behaviors of the old you, the old man. Okay, so they're like dirty old clothes, stinking clothes, the characteristic actions and behaviors of our unsaved self. We're to take those actions and those behaviors off, put them off. The dirty old clothes of the old man. And then in the second half of the chapter, we find out that there's some things that part of our new heavenly life in Christ that God wants us to put on. He's got some new clean clothes for us to wear. These are the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But would you take a look with me, please, at verse number 10 of this chapter, because this is the center point of the chapter, the whole chapter, the putting off, the putting on. It all hinges on verse number 10. Look at what it says here. It says, "And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Who created your new you? That is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. And what verse 10 tells us is that that new you, that new man, was created in the image of Christ. He has done a work within you to give you a new nature in Him, a new person in Him. But now, because that is true, look at verse 12. Verse 12 is the command, "Put on therefore." And that putting on is talking about the new clothes of the new you. What are these new clothes that God wants you to wear as a believer? They are, in fact, the beautiful and royal robes of Christ-likeness. The virtues of the Lord Jesus, He wants those to be displayed in your life. And one specific virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should be modeling, that should be evident in our lives, is the virtue of gratitude, being thankful. God expects that of the believer. And God enables that in the life of a believer. And so let's talk about how to maintain the attitude of gratitude. Let's look at verses 15 through 17, okay? Let's read these three verses. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I hope you noticed that the word thanks or thankful was in that passage twice, okay? So it is definitely a theme, but I want you to see three things about gratitude from these verses. First of all, let's consider the engine of gratitude. The engine of gratitude, where does it come from in the life of a believer? Look at verse number 16. It comes from, as it says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." What is that talking about? Well, that's talking about the living word, the Lord Jesus dwelling in you. in the person of His Holy Spirit. And how does He dwell in you richly? He dwells in you richly in all wisdom when you take the written Word of God and you make it a part of you. The more of this book that you absorb, the more that you take it in, the more you begin to act and build your life upon the basis of this book, the more freedom, the more scope, the more richness you are giving to the indwelling Christ to live His life through you, to have access to all of you, to have control in your life. In other words, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom is the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. So in short, folks, the engine of gratitude in the life of a believer is Christ in you. That's the same truth that we just looked at back in verse number 10, okay? We have an inner man, an inner person, that is continually being renewed after the image of Christ. That's the engine. It is the power of God working in the life and heart of a believer. What I'm saying is that true thankfulness proceeds from the heart. You can't be thankful in a fake way for very long. It just doesn't work. It has to come from the heart. It is not a mechanical thing. And for a believer, thankfulness, gratitude should be insuppressible. It should just bubble up out of your heart and in your life like all these other virtues of the Lord Jesus that we're supposed to put on, like the peace and the love and the singing and those things that we read about in this passage as well. Believer, if you are saved, you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, then you have a renewed heart that is capable of Christ-like gratitude. And by the way, did you know that God Himself is grateful? Do you ever consider that? I mean, you know, that might be a kind of a strange thought. I mean, why would God need to be grateful? You look at the example of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and He was always giving thanks. So He has set us an example of gratitude, and He lives within us, and He enables gratitude in our lives. So God here is not just commanding you as a believer to be thankful. He's not twisting your arm behind your back and saying, "You be thankful." No, He is giving you a thankful nature. And now He says, "Let it show." All right, so that's number two, the expression of our gratitude. It should show. All right, look back at verse 12, okay? Look at that command, put on therefore. And that command runs all the way down to our text. What are we supposed to be putting on? We're supposed to be putting on mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, charity, verse number 14, the peace of God, and verse 15, end of the verse, thankfulness. So gratitude is not just something that you should feel in your heart. It's something that you should express in your life. It should be both spoken and shown. And even more specifically, I think in our text we can see that gratitude should be expressed toward other people. Okay? And I think that's really what verse 15 is talking about primarily. Be ye thankful. Most of the virtues that I just read to you in the passage here describe how we should interact with other people. Okay? The love and the peace and the long-suffering and the forbearing and the forgiving and the thankfulness. And so, believer, one of the things that God wants you to do is He wants you to be thankful and to express your gratitude toward others in the body of Christ. If somebody has ministered to you, then you should express your gratitude for being on the receiving end of that ministry. If you've been on the receiving end of grace that has come to you flowing through a channel of one of God's people, then you should be expressing your gratitude and be on the giving end of thanks, okay, in return for receiving grace. The only right response for receiving grace is to give back thanks. I think we could also say, we could make an application that we should express our gratitude toward others in our families as well. There's one place where there should be an environment of gratitude, it would be our homes. And that would be towards, interactions of members of the same family with one another. Especially, I think, as we see here in Proverbs 31, husbands toward their wives and kids toward their parents. Oh, I forgot I had these outline points here. Okay. We're on the expression of gratitude. All right, look at Proverbs 31:28. Her children arise up. This is the virtuous woman and mother who has invested in her family, who has given sacrificially for her family. It says, her children arise up and call her, bless her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know what that is? That is an expression of gratitude. In our family, when my wife fixes a family meal, sometimes I like to get up at the end of the meal and just give her a kiss for preparing the meal for us. And then that became kind of a little game or whatever, because then I started giving her one kiss for a good meal and two kisses for a really good meal and three kisses for an outstanding meal. So now to get to that three kiss level, it's got to have dessert, okay? But that's a three kiss meal in our family. But you know, sometimes I just go on to four and five or whatever. You know, it's no big deal. But anyway, it's an expression of gratitude. And these are things that should be present in our homes. And sadly, I know, speaking for myself, I'm not often nearly as grateful as I should be. But God says, you know, you need to make it known. Children, arise up and call your mother blessed. Husband, you praise her. You express your gratitude. We should be thankful, and we should express our thankfulness and our gratitude toward other people. And then secondly, we should also express it toward God. To express our gratitude toward God. Look at verse number 17 again in our passage, okay? Look at verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So verse 15, we're being thankful to others. And verse 17, our thanks is going up vertically. It's going up to God Himself. And that's, of course, appropriate because ultimately all the blessings come from Him, don't they? And so we should be regularly and enthusiastically thanking our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, as it says here in this passage. In fact, I think we could go beyond. I want to share with you 8 ways that we should be thanking God properly. How to thank Him properly, okay? Number 1, we should thank God purposefully. What I mean by that is we should make a point to thank God, even when maybe we don't really feel like it, even when we're suffering or we're hurting or we're just not in the mood. Even then, like the psalmist said, my soul shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Secondly, we should also thank God prayerfully. We should express thanks in our prayers and in our prayers for people as well. You know, one of the things the Apostle Paul did when he was praying for people is he thanked God for the people in his life that were a blessing to him. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, for example, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So one of the ways that we should pray is we should pray thankfully, giving God thanks for the people in our lives that have been a blessing to us. Number 3, we should also thank God particularly. That means specifically. That means we should go down the list. We should count up our blessings and name them one by one. And then you can name them ton by ton after that. Okay, but be specific and particular in your thanks. Number 4, we should thank God persistently. We should thank Him regularly. It should be a part of our daily prayer activity with God that we're thanking Him. It should be a constant habit of our lives. Number 5, we should thank God punctually. We should thank Him right away when we receive a blessing and don't delay. Like that one leper. Remember the one? What did he do? He got healed. He didn't even finish going to the priest and getting cleared of his leprosy so he could return to Jewish society. As soon as he realized he was healed, he went back right away to thank God. He thanked punctually. Another application I think that we could make of this is that I think we should be thanking God on our way in the door of entering into His presence. I was talking about this with the Pathfinders this week. You know, the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We're walking into the presence of God. We're going to spend time with God in prayer. We're going to spend time with him in worship. Whatever, we should start with being thankful, expressing our gratitude. We should also thank God passionately. There should be some zeal about it. There should be some fervency about it. I mean, we pray fervently when we have a need, but we should thank God passionately as well from the bottom of our hearts. Going along with that, we should thank God proportionally. I mean, in proportion to your asking. I mean, if you've been asking and praying for days or weeks or months and you've been fervently crying out, oh, Lord, I need something in my life. Oh, God, I need you to do something for me. Then when he does it, don't just say, oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. No, our thanks should be in proportion to our asking. I mean, if it really meant a lot to you to receive that blessing from God, then thank him like it meant a lot to you. Spend some time and put some effort into it. Finally, we should thank God publicly. We should tell other people about God's goodness to us, and we're going to have an opportunity for that in our second service this afternoon, a praise and testimony service where we'll have an opportunity to thank God publicly for his blessings in our lives. The expression of gratitude is toward others and it's toward God. Third this morning, though, from this passage, I want you to also see the extent of gratitude. When have we thanked God and when have we thanked other people enough? I mean, when can we say, yep, I did that Thanksgiving thing and I'm done with that now? Never. We can't ever say that. Would you look back at verse 17? Okay, look at what it says. And whatsoever ye do, by the way, that is an ongoing tense there. So whatsoever you are doing, okay, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The giving thanks there grammatically is tied to the key action word doing. So whatever you are doing, whatever you are saying, you should always be doing it and saying it with thanksgiving. It's a description of how we're doing. Do all with an attitude of gratitude. In the parallel passage in the book of Ephesians, much of Colossians and Ephesians parallel each other. Paul says many of the same things, but he puts them in different ways, like let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and be filled with the Spirit. Well, look at what he says here in Ephesians 5, the parallel passage about being thankful. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I've heard Christians say, well, I know I have to be thankful in all things, but I don't have to be thankful for all things. No, actually, the Bible says, be thankful always and for all things. Now, wait a minute. I mean, how is that possible? Because after all, I mean, there are some things in our lives that aren't good, right? I mean, bad things that really, you know, we really shouldn't be thankful for. Well, let me explain. We can thank God in all things because circumstances can never steal your inner joy or peace. Because you have an engine within, the indwelling Christ, who makes that joy and that peace and that gratitude bubble up, a fountain of the Spirit. So you can be thankful in all things, no matter what circumstance you're going through, no matter what problems you're going through. They can't take that away from you unless you let it. And we can be thankful for all things because God has promised to work all things for our good. Even the bad stuff, God is going to use for good. And so in that sense, we can be thankful for the good that God is working in our lives. Let me ask you this morning, very simple question. Are you maintaining an attitude of gratitude? Are you overflowing with thanks in your heart to God and towards other people? Are you wearing around that beautiful garment of a Christ-like, thankful spirit and a thankful expression at all times? I mean, is it evident in your life? Who do you need to say thanks to today? Is there some person, perhaps, that as you've been listening to the Word of God today, God's put upon your heart, you know, there's a person that you should be thankful to. You should express that gratitude to that person. Is it perhaps the Lord? Is He the one that you owe a debt of gratitude to this morning that you need to pay? I don't know about you, but I needed this study this week. It's been good for me to think about this, meditate on these truths. So I got a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to assassinate the assassins. Assassinate whatever is killing off an attitude of gratitude in your life. Put off those old dirty garments of selfishness and a stinking or spoiled rotten attitude. Put all that off, as we're commanded in Colossians chapter number 3, and let a sweet spirit of thanksgiving and the sweet sounds of thanksgiving be heard and be seen in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit of God who lives within you to renew a thankful spirit within and to help you to express genuine gratitude to the people in your life as well as to the Lord, and do it on a regular basis. I think one of the very best things that could come out of this study, this message today, is if we would leave here today beginning to make a point to say thanks to God and to others. God, give me a grateful heart, a fountain of blessings to be. As you have filled my life with gifts, fill my heart with thanks to Thee. Oh God, give me grateful lips, channels of blessings free. Help me to richly share my thanks with those who have shown love to me. God, give me a grateful life. Help me your blessings to see. Clothe me in Christ's own beauty and grace so that He is revealed in me. Let's make that our prayer. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song, number 316.